Good afternoon, 2:24 p.m. Saturday, February 4th, a post-snow, everything is running water, including my nose, afternoon. It's a lovely afternoon here. The sun is ridiculously bright against the snow. I got my ball cap on. I wish I'd worn my sunglasses because my eyes keep running. The more my eyes run, the more my nose runs. It doesn't seem to end. So yesterday I took the day off. Yeah, I know, that was probably lazy on my part. But it was cold, it was blowing, it was snowing. There was no other reason for me to even leave the house yesterday except to go for the walk. So I didn't. So, was it lazy? Was it self-preservation? Was it reason? Was it, yeah, probably all, some of those. And not all of any of it. I could have made the walk. I've made the walk in worse weather, certainly. One of the things that, I just stepped in the puddle. One of the things that kept me from going was like that. I just stepped in a puddle. This is not the first time I've stepped in a puddle. These boots used to be waterproof, and they haven't been waterproof since I walked the seam out of them last summer sometime. What I need to do is go over, bite the bullet, buy a new pair of boots. It's just that these are so comfy, and most of the time there isn't water, so it's like the old story about the guy with the leak in his roof. His wife says, "Why don't you go fix it?" He says, "Well, I can't. It's raining." "Well, it wasn't raining yesterday. Why didn't you fix it then?" "It wasn't raining yesterday." So there's kind of a self-fulfilling promise there. And I don't change my boots because most of the time I don't need to. And I don't walk because I need to change my boots and I don't have fresh boots to put on. So anyway. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what I need to talk about. It's been interesting dealing with the fallout of ridings being less than visible. I have had a letter from Robin, and in theory, she is now working on some of the outstanding issues that riding authors are most concerned with. What she hasn't done is post an update status on our Facebook secret account, which she established so that she could keep us all appraised for what she was doing and when she was doing it. She made the mistake of actually giving us some deadlines and some estimates. Those were back in November. So, yeah, I'm not holding my breath, we'll put it that way. But I do have to go on their side and say, I still believe, because if I didn't, I would have done something different. I still believe that we can sell more books together than I can sell on my own. I still believe that the product that we produce in partnership is better than what I can do by myself. Those two things are not unrelated. But because I think the product that we do together is better, generally speaking, I think that's why we sell more books. I also think part of the reason is that the Ishmael Wong franchise is a lot deeper and has a lot more time to have grown. Now, people who are still discovering Ravenwood saying things like, "Oh, I don't read fantasy, but this was really good." People who can't imagine that the story about an old woman with a stick could be engaging are oftentimes the same people who think that a story about a kid making coffee is boring. And they're right. In some classical sense, in some formal universe, they are. And yet, I had a lot of writers come up to me. A few writers come up to me and say, you know, I read your book, and there's no way I should have liked that book, because I like things that aren't in that book, and you didn't have any of those. And yet, I couldn't stop reading it. And so, how do you do that? And the answer is, of course, careful planning and equal parts bullshit and fog, because I have no idea how I do it. I have no idea what makes the stories work. I know they work. I know when they go on the page that they work. I know how that work plays out. But what are the characteristics? How do I recreate it? How can I do it again? I don't know. There's a certain part of me that has to ask, is that why I'm not writing a mile a minute right now? Because I'm afraid that the next book isn't going to be as good as the last book. And of course, that's a tough question. The knee-jerk reaction is, well, of course not. Because I know the next book can be better. And that's not exactly the same question that I asked. So where is it and how does it fall out? I was talking to another podcast friend last night who noted a certain amount of trepidation and fear was causing a blockage. And I know many of you have accused me of being blocked over the last year. Some of them making comments about fear, some about emotional instability, all of which is, without sounding too defensive, I can't really gainsay any of them. It's entirely possible, all of that. I think on the inside of it, it's a little difficult for me to judge. It's like telling a story through my own eyes. I only see what I can see. I only know what I perceive. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of feedback. There's a lot of feedback about writing and why I should be kicking them to the curb and putting these books out on my own, because that's, you know, unconscionable that they should treat me this way, and I deserve better. That kind of reminds me, I think it was my father. I don't often bring the old guy out, but I seem to have done it a lot lately. But I think it was my father who once said, God help you if you ever get what you deserve. And I thought that was odd. Because everybody wants what they deserve, right? The reality is, do we really? Are we in any position to tell? Is that going to be positive or negative? If I get what I deserve, what does that look like? And are there parts of my life that make me think, I'll continue to be undeserving, thanks, and I'll take what I can get and not worry about what I might deserve? Because if I start thinking about what I might deserve, I might have to think that perhaps I'm already in the hole and might need to give some of it back. So that's an interesting idea as well. Something that I'll be writing about, I'm pretty sure. With this whole idea of do you get what you deserve? And I think maybe Gunderson, maybe you have to think about that a little bit, because he's in a good place to wonder about whether or not he gets what he deserves, whether or not anybody gets what they deserve, whether they get what they deserve or even what they earn. Is that different? You get what you deserve, you get what you earn. I don't know. I have to think about that. It's a pretty deep subject for a brilliantly sunny afternoon where I really didn't want to go for the walk today because I spent so much time shoveling. But I figured I better, because I don't want to get in the habit of missing the walk again. I've only got a few weeks before I go off to Oregon, and I probably won't walk or talk while I'm at the workshop. I might, but I'm planning on not, so just in case. The thing is that I suspect that while I'm there, I'm going to be so busy working. I hope I'm going to be so busy working that there won't be time to walk or talk or think or links to upload with or anything else. So we'll have to see how this all flies. I have no idea. It is the last week in March. I come home on April Fool's Day. I hope that's not an omen. We'll see how it all flies when we get a little bit closer. In the meantime, I don't think, anything else that will interfere with the writing or the reading or the talking or the walking, other than I do have to do a seminar, a workshop on social media marketing for Northern Colorado writers at the end of February, February 27th. I also need to look, because I think that's the same day that the Regional Science Fair happens. And I like to be a judge for that, because it's fun to go around and talk to the kids, see what the kids think about stuff. Sometimes they have some really cool insights. Sometimes they're a little bit depressing. But it's a good way to tap in. I was very pleased with the response, by the way. I don't know that I spent a lot of time on it. When I was at the high school, the students there were quite charming. A couple of them were actually paying very close attention and asked some interesting questions, like the young woman who asked, how can I write a woman character if I only write what I know? And the guy who asked me, what's my most successful book? And I had to stop and think all the different ways that I might define success and how each one of them meant a different book might be the most successful, depending on my mood for the day, depending on the way it works out, the way it feels at the moment. So this notion of success is really kind of a transient idea that comes and goes. How successful are you? By most standards, exceptionally, which goes back to getting what I deserve and a little fear inside me that, speaking of fear, that perhaps I might have more success than I deserve. And no, don't get all Freudian on me worrying about, or I guess it would be Jungian on me, worrying about that I'm not writing because I already think I've earned more than I deserve, blah, blah, blah. And it's amusing, but not exactly applicable. I'm very handy at compartmentalizing. I'm very good at managing cognitive dissonance. I'm perfectly happy holding two conflicting ideas in my head and believing them both at the same time. Sometimes I do it by switching back and forth, and I'll believe this one for a while, and then I'll believe that one. Sort of like the picture of the duck-rabbit thing, where if you look at it long enough, you can only see the rabbit, and then once the duck snaps into vision, you can only see the duck. I can quite frequently see them both at the same time, and sometimes I can only see one or the other, and I can switch back and forth between them because I know they're both there, but getting to see them both at once is sometimes a challenge. But I can do it. It's wet. It's warm. My driveway is shoveled. I can go in the house. I've got dinner on. I'm roasting a chicken. I'm going to go in, take off my wet shoes, upload these files, and I think collapse. I can't believe how weak I still am. I don't know what it was that I got. I don't know whether it was some sort of virus, an infection, some sort of flu. I was reading Ronnie Bennett's blog the other day, and she's discovered that there are days when she'll get up, she'll have breakfast, she'll get dressed, and then she feels so crummy, she just gets undressed again and goes back to bed, sleeps the day away. And then gets up and has an evening, and goes back to bed, and wakes up the next day refreshed. Like, perhaps it's just her body telling her, you can't do this anymore every day. And since you don't have somebody telling you you have to do it every day, you don't. Now, honestly, Tuesday and Wednesday, I slept pretty much most of the day. I won't say I slept all day, but I slept most of the day, both days. And then I went to bed ridiculous hours, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and slept through until the alarm at 6 a.m. to wake daughter. So I was sleeping a lot, and apparently I must have needed it. The upshot of it is that I'm ridiculously weak. My calves were out of shape from not walking, and when I got done with my walk the other day, they felt okay, but even yesterday I noticed how much they hurt when I was going up and down the stairs because they hadn't been used to the exercise of the walk just in one day. Well, just from missing the weekend and about 4 days total. So yeah, I'm coming on 60 and apparently resilience is no longer one of my endearing features. One of my innate qualities. And while most of my qualities are by definition innate, the reality is some of them don't work as well as they used to. You know, I think that's okay. I hope that's okay, because I don't really have a lot of choice. Which goes back, I think, to getting what I deserve. Where they filled and graded the water outlet here. There's water running, because there's water running everywhere right at the moment. And it looks like it's moving along quite nicely down into the field where the grasses will be able to use it. Very interesting. What's interesting is that there's little chunks of snow standing up out in the field. I think it's snow. And maybe it's a flag. I guess they're white plastic flags. It looks like a little triangular piece of snow standing up on its own in the middle of the field. There's four or five of them, though, so I guess there's probably little plastic flags. I can't see well enough in this light to be able to get a good glimpse of anything. It's blinding, gosh. Unbelievable bright. At least my eyes have stopped running. I think I've run out of tears for the moment. That's a good sign. as long as my eyes aren't running, my nose isn't running. So I'm not sniffing my nose off into the microphone for all of you to hear and cringe every time I do it. Anyway, somebody's got a wood stove going. And this is apparently Super Bowl weekend. Somebody said something about a Super Bowl. I guess there's two football teams playing, but I'm pretty sure neither one of them is the Kraken, so I'm not really all that interested. Super Bowl was fun when I lived in Buffalo. We had the Bills going all the time and failing. Oh well. Here we are, back at the corner. I'm gonna try to cross the street without stepping in the water. Can you hear it burble? That's the water running down my street from the melting snow. And yeah, it's pretty warm. Where I shoveled the walk this morning, the concrete is now, well, it's now not just shoveled, but it's bare and in most places dry, except where snow melts from the grassy area beside it has melted off and run over the sidewalk. But I'm back. I'm at the back gate. And tomorrow's another day. I hope I talk to you then.